Joining us right now, it is Councilman Jerry Krause. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mark.
I kind of just had a slurring moment. How are you, sir? So what's going on, Jerry? How are you?
Well, busy day, TGIF. Here we go, getting into hopefully a nice weather weekend.
Well, it looks like it.
Heaven forbid we don't mow the lawn every 3 days around here with all this rain.
No, I know. It's crazy. My lawn is so high right now. I think my landlord mows the lawn. I think it broke down the other day because, I hope they're not listening. But the people that live upstairs, like, they raked last fall, they raked all these leaves into piles. And they just left them there all summer or all winter. So now there's just big, huge piles of wet leaves in my yard. And I think it broke the lawnmower. But anyway, big news. You're a busy guy lately, Jerry. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, it is a busy time of the year between things I get going on with the city and the council, and we've got a lot going on with the Stephen Swan Humane Society where I'm working. So yeah, every day is a new day, another challenge. It's not boring.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. Now, the big topic that everybody's talking about, at least, I know a lot of people that put on events and a lot of artsy people that do things. And a lot of people are outraged about this 15% surcharge and the dollar for every ticket.
Why would they be outraged?
You know, that's what I said. I said, what is wrong? Why are you so mad about this? Well, they want to promote the city of Utica as being business friendly and event friendly, and now they're just sticking it to us and charging us more money for it. What?
Let's take a step back.
Yeah, please.
There are some options. If these promoters that come in from out of town and make money here, if they want to go rent out the Utica Memorial Auditorium for an event, well, let me just tell you, for a one-day rental, it's $2,500
mm-hmm.
to start.
Yeah.
And now you got to put in your extra people. You got to take care of cleanup. You got to take care of, again, some other costs. So, that's one option. You can go rent out the Stanley Theater. I'm sure they have a rate sheet. There's other places you can go get, but for people to think that you can come into the city of Utica, where the city of Utica now will employ members of its work staff to help with these events, and they got to clean up, and they got to patrol, and they've got to be on guard with EMT in case anything happens with the fire department, the police department, the DPW, the parks department, plus, providing power. You know what it's like when you have to plug in vendors and you got to plug in bands and things like that. Now, some of these events may bring in their own generators, but otherwise, they're plugging into city power. So there's some expenses involved. And my point was, there's people in the city of Utica that pay taxes that have no interest to go to any outside events. They just don't. So why do we ask them all the time to shoulder the burden of paying for some of these events when we can take a little slice of the event themselves with the money that they're generating from alcohol sales and ticket admissions and help cover those costs? With that said, if there's an event on city property that has no booze and they don't charge admission, we're not involved.
Right. Yeah. They don't have to give you anything.
Kid-friendly events, some of these nonprofit events. If there's not beer or wine being sold and they're not charging an admission, it doesn't apply.
Right.
These are just events that come in from outside promoters or inside promoters that want to make a buck. They come into the city of Utica. They do events. If they're going to be selling beer, there's a lot of money to be made in selling beer and wine.
No, absolutely.
If they're going to be doing that, and if they're charging admission, then certainly I think it's only fair that we take a very small slice to help cover our costs. So we don't, again, burden the property taxpayers, so we can help pay as you go.
It's like people always complain about police overtime, fire overtime, this and this and this and this. Well, a lot of this happens at events like this. So if you want to complain about paying overtime and not having enough money to do stuff like that, but on the other hand, you want to complain about trying to generate some more money for the things that these officers and these fire departments and the DPW is actually spending time on. I think this is a needed piece of legislation, and I think it's going to work out, and everybody's just kind of fear-mongering right now, and they're up in arms. Do some homework about it instead of just your knee-jerk reaction of, oh, my goodness, another fee. They're killing events in Utica. I'm very passionate about this.
This is maybe a good time also for some of the taxpayers in Utica maybe to chime in saying, right, because there is going to be possibly, very possibly, a 2% tax cap coming.
Yep.
Mandated by our governor, Andrew Cuomo. So now, as you remember, this past Utica budget, it was 3.2%, I think, is what we settled on.
Yes,
now,
yep.
You've got automatic increases in wages. You've got pension costs that are going to be there. We cannot change those because those are by contract. So those are already pretty much over 2%. So we're going to have to make some cuts next year. So let's try to recoup some of the money for some of our other costs and do it in a way where we're not putting all the burden, again, on property taxpayers' shoulders. They're already broken in half because all the weight from all the taxes, not just city taxes. You got county taxes, state taxes, federal taxes. Everywhere you look, there's taxes, taxes, taxes. So let's see what we can do on a pay-as-you-go basis, call it a user fee. If somebody's going to be going to an event that we're going to be needing to put some city manpower involved, that we got to pay them, let's see if we can't somewhat try to cover our costs.
I agree. And it's now, but this is only for events held on City of Utica property, like City Hall.
City of Utica Parks property. You've
right.
got, you know, all the city parks, events that come out to city property. Now, if they go do an event in a private parking lot or a business or something, it doesn't come under this legislation.
Right, so it's not like every event in the city is going to have to be, you know, paying the surcharge. So that,
no.
I think, is an important thing for people to know, too.
And again, we don't have our hand out there looking for, you know, 10% of a hot dog sale or 10% of a hamburger or a soda sale. This is just beer and wine and admission tickets. That's the only thing that falls here under the legislation.
Now, what about, and I know you said that the events that are already going on this year are grandfathered in, correct?
Right. Events that have already been checked in and you know, signed up through the city clerk's office, those events are good to go for this year. Next year, they'll fall under this. Now, if you or I walked into the city clerk's office today saying, hey, I want to put a concert on at Proctor Park, and I want to sell beer, and I want to charge a $20 admission ticket, now the new legislation kicks in for that event.
Right. And so I have a question is, the Utica Zoo is a city-owned property. Is that correct? So they're holding their Wine in the Wilderness, let's say Wine in the Wilderness, even though it's grandfathered in this year, next year's Wine in the Wilderness. Will they have to do the 15% surcharge, too? Because
yeah, and, you know, we're very sensitive to the good things that are happening at the Utica Zoo.
Well, you know, I just asked.
Go ahead.
I just asked because it is a city property, so
it
would
is.
The city take, and it's a fundraiser for the zoo. So
it
would
is,
so would they still get that 15% surcharge?
Let's talk about that. Up at the Utica Zoo, throughout the course of the entire year, whether it's helping with the parking lot, whether it's helping with some of the sewer issues up there, whether it's plowing in the winter, we have City of Utica employees and the Parks Department and the DPW helping them out. It's
mm-hmm.
been a great relationship over the years. But, you know, you can certainly have, you know, a dialogue as far as the good things that the Utica Zoo provides for the area. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
And I know many of the workers up there, they're hard workers, they're great assets to the city. Fact remains, we've got city employees up there working, and you know they're spending time up there where somebody might say, well, they could be down in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
they could be out doing this, they could be, you know, taking care of potholes, they could be out in the park
right.
in Utica. So there is a cost up there. So are we going to be very demanding? Not extremely. For example, now if you've got an event like this weekend, I think it's a $30 admission charge.
Yes. Yep.
$1 of that. What? See, they're already grandfathered in for this year, because they've already put in their paperwork. But, you know, through this legislation, $1 of that would go for this legislation. And, again, one thing we haven't brought up, all the money raised through this legislation goes into a dedicated fund that the city clerk will keep track of to help with improvements in the parks.
Mm.
So as of right now, if somebody came in front of our council during budget time saying, hey, we need to put a whole new system down at Hanna Park for the stage, or we need to do, you know, the bathroom remodeling, or we need to do new walkways over at the Val Bialis or at the zoo or whatever it is, now at least we have some money that is going to be building in a dedicated fund to help with some of the repairs and some of the upgrades that we need at the parks. Because as of right now, we don't have that money in
right.
any account because we're broke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an understatement. So,
and it helps us build money to help go back in to improve the city park property parks.
And really, a dollar off your admission ticket? I mean, this isn't going to chop the legs off of these promoters. It's just, I think it's foolish for everybody to be so up in arms without doing their homework first.
I think what it is, it's just maybe a slow news day. this is gathering just, I think, a real lot of criticism when, in fact, you know, it's happening around us. Syracuse does this.
Yeah.
You know, it's happening around us. It's just a way, again, for municipalities to start to try to, you know, recollect some of the costs that it's putting out to put on some of these events.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, you know, let's take a look to take that money and put it back into the park system to help keep it up.
Great idea. We got to go because, you know, the city's, we got to start getting some money from somewhere. And for outside promoters to just come and walk in and put on an event and then just leave, they don't feel the tax burden.
Free rent.
Yeah,
free
exactly.
Rent. Not a bad deal.
I would take it if I could. I tell you that. I wish somebody would offer me free rent. So that's.
And again, the comparison where I bring up the Utica Auditorium, some people have done events down here, and you know, of course, it's covered, so you don't have to worry about taking a risk on the weather.
Right.
And you know, it's $2,500 a day.
Yeah.
And these fees that we're asking for up here, you know, more than likely won't come anywhere close to that per day.
No. It's a bargain if you ask me. It really is like a bargain for these
that
promoters.
Goes, again, into a dedicated fund to help the parks.
So you were down at Varick Street with some other Common Council members last night looking at the vendors along after Saranac Thursday. How did that go?
I took a walk with my fellow councilman at large, Ed Bachero, because it's been brought up again that, you know, there are some issues with Saranac Thursday business owners on Varick Street after the crowd leaves the brewery and they come down on Varick Street. So I guess the basic issue was, you know, if businesses, you know, pay taxes through the year, and I certainly understand that, they employ people through the year.
Right.
Should there be vendors in front of them selling food when they're selling food inside?
Mm.
So, you know, that's the debate. And, again, the safety of people running through the streets. The streets are not closed for Saranac Thursday. So, potentially, you can have somebody, after a couple of cocktails, a couple of beverages, running across the street to get a hot dog,
right,
unaware of, you know, there's traffic coming down. So, would it behoove us in the city of Utica to take all the vendors, put them in the city-owned parking lot next to Nail Creek on Varick Street? So, that was a suggestion. So we decided to walk down yesterday, walk up and down the street, and see how the vendors were laid out, see how the businesses were doing their business, and see just what the flow was. And it really looked okay yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't any major concerns. But then again, we hear that it really gets jammed down there with people after 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and we left before that. So, you know, how does it go? And the vendors stick around because, they, you know, it's prime time. For them, so.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, who doesn't want a hot dog at 11 o'clock at night? I do.
We talked to the vendors, and we talked to some of the people on the street, and we talked to Utica police who were patrolling. So we got a better idea right now as far as the layout of everything. You know, does everything need to be kind of, you know, reexamined and tweaked a little bit? Sure. But as of right now, I don't know if there's a huge problem down there with vendors, but we'll keep an eye on it.
We're talking with Utica Common Councilman Jerry Krause. It's 8:17, and the HSBC, there's so much to talk about this week, Jerry. It's killing me. And I'm sick of saying the HSBC building, but where are you at on the building?
You know, we've heard from all sides of this.
Yeah.
And I'll just, again, throw out this question to you. If an employer was ready to come into downtown Utica and said to you, I like the building, I got my eye on a building on Genesee Street, the problem is there's no parking.
Mm-hmm.
So the city has that dilemma in front of them saying, okay, we've got potential renters or purchasers of buildings, and they will hopefully employ people in downtown Utica, which would be great. So they need parking, so what do we do? I worked downtown for 30 years. You work downtown. There is just a shortage of parking. Now, people can say what they want about walking four blocks in the winter and you know, this and that. It's just not that convenient for people.
No.
You know, we're victims of habit. People like to park pretty close to where they work if they're going to walk. And if you have a prospective employer coming in, they like to see that there's nearby parking.
Yeah.
So that spot over there could be potentially valuable if somebody was coming in to do some development. Now, on the other side of the coin, there are people, and we've heard them, and they've got arguments saying this is a landmark. It's a piece of architecture that is part of the city landscape. We need to do all we can to save the building. You know, the shell outside and the structure has been deemed somewhat safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be, I don't think, of any danger of caving in at any point right now.
Yeah.
But now it's in our codes system. The owner's being cited for some violations. Our Director of Economic Development, Randy Sachs, has been in the building. His business is development of these type of buildings. He's very in tune to what needs to be done to bring this building back to life. The figures that we had the other night at one of our committee meetings was close to $4 million.
Yeah.
Because of the mold, because of the possible asbestos abatement, and because of how it's been ruined and stripped of all working parts of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, all for scrap metal prices.
And we don't know who stripped that building.
Well,
there's a lot of debate.
that's going to be somewhat, I think they're going to try to determine that through whoever was hired to fix. I got my fingers doing the quote, fix.
Yeah.
The heating system.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the owner claims, well, now everything's gone.
Yeah, and so, he also said that, you know, you called the police, and this is what was reported, that he called the police and they said it was a civil matter, that they can't do anything about it. But there's no, I find the whole thing fishy, but that's just my opinion. We can't, nothing could be proven, but, so do you think it will be easier to take it down, and make some parking spaces? I think Randy said it would be 200 parking spaces as, right there across the street. And, or do you think it would be easier to get somebody in and say, hey, you want to invest $4 million to put this up? And then you have to, and this is what I thought was very interesting, Jerry, from the meeting the other day is, okay, so somebody's going to invest $4 million in it. You know how much they have to pay for rent?
How many years would it take?
And how many?
Close to breaking even.
Yeah, right? It just doesn't make sense from a business standpoint.
The issue that was brought up, Mark, was New York State right now has a dedicated parking garage, parking area fund that we could tap into that would, A, buy the building for us for $350,000, whatever it was. So that would not come out of Utica taxpayers' money directly. Of course, we all pay state tax.
Right.
And they would also pay for the demolition. So that money is on a clock. It's not going to be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly what that window is to go out and apply and to secure that money, but that's an option. So if people would agree upon saying, you know what, maybe it would be better if we took it down, especially it won't cost us a dime to take it down. So that's another part of this discussion. So that's where the administration and the council and all the interested parties and the people that are involved in downtown Utica development and the Landmark Society and all the interested groups that want to certainly be a part of what's happening in our city, and we want everybody to be involved. We want to make sure we get everybody together. So, maybe we won't come to a unanimous consensus, but at least we can have dialogue and put it all out there. I'm a big supporter of knowledge is power. When you get the facts in front of you, when you have all the pertinent financial information and you have quotes from experts, then I think you're better ready to make some decisions and to look at the bigger picture instead of maybe just a real narrow focus.
Right. And the council, you guys said you don't want to buy it. You want to try to get, you don't want to spend $350,000 of city money on it.
Not of city money. We don't have it.
Well, that's for sure.
That's 1.5. That's about almost 2% of a tax increase. When you look at each 1% of tax increase for Utica taxpayers, equates to $200,000 in expenditure.
Eesh.
So that's to buy that property. They said 350. Well, let's just bump it up to 400.
That's right.
2% on the tax increase just to get that one building and not even do anything yet with demolition, which is going to cost another few $100,000. And then, it's like preparation and all that stuff. So it's very expensive for us to think about taking it on for ourselves or, to see what we're going to do with it. We just really do need to have more dialogue. Let's wait and see what this owner that's out in California now, he's being served with the information from the codes department as far as the violations. Let's see what his plan is.
And, and with these codes, a lot of people said, well, just take it on, their eminent domain was brought up at the council meeting. Codes and taxes were all brought up on how to get this building away from this guy. And it's interesting because the codes issue, he could just do the minimal requirements and just say, I'm working on it and make it look 10 times worse. He could start, if he wanted to, he could start stripping off the marble tomorrow on the outside of the building and make it just look like this run-down, dilapidated building.
It's his building, and he would argue, I can do with it what I want.
Exactly.
It's my building. I own that property.
Yeah, so. And eminent domain will take years and taxes. He could just keep paying his taxes. I think he's a little behind right now on his taxes, right, Jerry?
He is.
Yeah,
from what we heard the other night. So I think the idea is, we've got Randy Soggs on it. We've got our codes department on it. We've got our legal department on it. Let's give them a little time to have some dialogue with the owner and see if they can come up with a plan.
Yeah, but, it's just it's a big thing, and especially with the Historic Society, they say, why were we tearing down this building? It's part of Utica's, infrastructure, and it's a beautiful place when you come downtown. Yeah, it's beautiful, but it's empty.
Well, you could also argue, maybe there could be some kind of a conduit between the Radisson Hotel and the Hotel Utica to put something in there or to use it for parking and maybe to put up something else in there that would be, conducive for, again, the tourism, the landscape, the business of the downtown area, the visual when people drive into town. And there may be some ideas, too, that people are thinking about. And, you know, we got smart people in this town.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. We got a lot of people that show up at meetings, and they come out with some of the greatest ideas. And we need people to get involved. If somebody has an idea, certainly let the administration know about it. Or, you know, it just can't be all complaining all the time.
Yeah,
really don't get any forward traction when it's just complaining, complaining, complaining.
You know, and that's
positive ideas, pulling the rope forward, not backward.
It was encouraging at the council meeting this week with when you guys were in caucus. You guys, the council, it was really nice to see coming together and working to get this solution solved, to find a solution for this, and being able to, you know, like Councilman Jerome, he was for kind of keeping it up and saying, well, why don't we look into other options? And then there was a good back and forth between everybody,
yep.
And it didn't get personal, didn't get like screaming matches. It was with one goal and one goal only, and that's to solve this HSBC. And I thought it was a great meeting.
I agree. You know, for the most part, we get spirited conversations because people are very interested and they're passionate about the city. We're all there. I mean, we ran campaigns that, you know, they're not easy to run.
No.
You got to get the petitions. You got to put money into it. You got to get out there and, you know, visit with the communities. You got to go to neighborhood meetings. You got to do all that. And you don't do that if you're not interested, if you don't have passion for the city. So everybody that's on the council had to go through that whole process to get elected. So now we're on there, the topic comes up, and if, you know, we've got an opinion about it one way or another, we're going to let people know about it. We're going to give our opinion. If people have called us in our neighborhoods, or, you know, the people that are in the different districts, they have a certain overriding concern that they want to get out there, they're going to let everybody know about it. And sometimes it does get loud, and it does get a little bit passionate. But we try to keep everybody in a somewhat, you know, professional discussion.
Yeah.
And we don't want it to get too crazy, because when it gets too loud, sometimes people get drowned out and people, you know, just start shouting. And we haven't had a lot of that, but, you know, we don't want it to get to that point.
Jerry Krause, thanks so much.
All right, Mark, have a great day.
You too.
Enjoy your weekend.
All right, buddy, thanks.
Bye-bye.